From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, Pip, you're begging to help me. I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again, transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Snerd, Effie Clinker, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Gary Crosby, Jack Kirkwood, Kate McKenna, the Mellow Men, yours very happily, John Heaston, and our special guest, farm advisor, Mr. Ralph LaRue. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Academy Award time, when honors and acclaim are bestowed on the best pictures of the year. But what about the flops? Are they to be forgotten? Charlie McCarthy says no. And with this in mind, we proudly present... The McCarthy Cavalcade of Flops.
These pictures were so bad, instead of an Oscar, they were given a Mickey.
Number one on our cavalcade of flops is that southern melodrama entitled The Kentucky Sun Shines Bright on My Old Kentucky Home in Old Kentucky Far Away.
The story takes place in Georgia. A southern girl is waiting for her soldier.
I've been waiting for you all, Colonel McCarthy. What took you all so long?
Well, Magnolia, y'all, I couldn't find my uniform, so I had to wear my over-you-alls. Well, now I must be off to the war.
Oh, would you like to take some of my chitlins with you?
No, Mum. War is no place for kids. But I'll always remember you as you are now, standing there with the boll weevils in your hair. And that dress you're wearing.
Oh, honey, show enough.
Well, it shows plenty, yeah.
That's a very old joke.
Just act, don't rate 'em.
Oh, Colonel McCarthy, even though I'm engaged to another, I love you. Give me a little old kiss.
What's a kiss?
Oh, come on, now, you mean to say you don't know what a kiss is? Didn't your little old father ever tell you about the little old birds and the little old bees?
No, Mom. He was too old and too little.
Oh, never mind. It's too late. Here comes my fiancé, Colonel Cream of Kentucky Bourbon on Rock.
Mm. Well, if it isn't my little magnolia blossom. Yes, sir. Grit my harmonies and hawk my ham.
Magnolia, this man isn't your fiancé. I recognize him as a Yankee spy. Yes, sir, you're under arrest.
Oh, yeah? Take that.
Ay, 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 ay. I'm a-dying. Well, at least I can go, knowing that the South is wonderful.
Now, just a second. According to the history books, the South lost the war.
Well, you read your history books and we'll read ours.
He stayed.
You all.
And now, heading up our vocal harmony department, we present the Mellow Men and...
Goodwill in people brings about good thoughts in people, brings about good deeds in people, and they become good friends. But bad will in people brings about bad thoughts in people, brings about bad deeds in people, and that's where friendship ends. Oh, sisters and brothers, that golden rule is true. Just do good to others, and they'll do good to you. 'Cause goodwill in people brings about good thoughts in people, brings about good deeds in people, and they become good friends. Goodwill. Bad deeds in people, and that's where friendship ends. Killing people brings about good thoughts in people, brings about good deeds in people, and brings the world good cheer. Cause goodwill, good thoughts, good deeds means goodbye to
with our cavalcade of flops. This was the year of outstanding gangster thrillers such as The Desperate Hours. But there are also the low-budget stinkers like A Few Cotton-Picking Seconds. Driving, Lefty. We lost the cop.
Yeah, Duke. We made good our escape from the big house.
Oh, the big house.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. Walls of concrete 30 feet high.
Yeah.
Electrified barbed wire. Machine guns every 5 feet.
Yeah.
Poison gas chambers. Guards with rubber hoses.
Yeah.
And over the gate, the sign, Welcome to Knott's Berry Farm.
Duke, I never did ask you, why did they send you up the river?
Oh, they gave me 99 years for jaywalking.
Yeah? How come?
Well, at the time, I was carrying a safe from the Second National Bank. How about you, Lefty? Why'd they have you in solitary?
You never heard, eh?
No.
I forged an invitation to Grace Kelly's wedding.
Well, heavens to Monaco.
Yeah.
Is that all? I thought you were tough.
Tough? I am so tough that when I walk down the street, even the sewers back up. Duke, we gotta find a hideout. Say, how about that place over there?
Well, let's see.
It's a good house.
It says rooms for rent, breakfast served.
That's good.
Escaped criminals welcome.
Well, that won't do. They sound too eager. And besides, they're not listed on my trip charge. Yeah. Hey, how about that house? See there with the tricycle on the front lawn. That means there's kids in the family.
Well, not necessarily. My 86-year-old grandmother rides a tricycle.
How come?
It's part of the cure.
Oh.
Lefty, let's pull over and try this yard.
All right. Come on, Duke. Let's get our guns now, huh?
Say, Lefty, look here on the doorstep. There's a note to the milkman.
Well, what does it say?
You can come in. He's out.
Yeah. Lady of the house sounds like quite a gal. Let's go. All right, lady, we're taking over.
Oh, if you're selling guns, we don't need any.
Why, you're just a little old-fashioned lady.
What you call me?
Old-fashioned.
Thanks, I'll have one.
You know, it must be her tricycle.
That's okay. We're a couple of escaped criminals, and we're taking over your house.
Go right ahead. I'll just continue with my knitting.
What's a little old lady like you knitting?
A little old man.
A little old man. Yeah.
You made me drop a stitch. Now he'll be round shouldered.
All right, lady. Who else lives here with you?
Well, there's my butler, Raymond.
Butler.
I'll call him.
You rang, madam?
That's your butler?
Oh, yes. I knitted him last week.
That's right. The old girl just keeps me in stitches. Oh, I just kill myself.
Yeah, why don't you?
What about your husband, lady?
Oh, the poor man's not with us anymore.
Oh.
He's gone.
What happened? Did he unravel or
No, he had an accident.
Oh.
And I would really little poem about it.
That should be a duty.
Oh, my dear, darling husband is gone for good. He put his head out the window while I was chopping wood.
Head out the window, chopping wood. Oh, the pains are coming back.
You get them too?
Nervous. Let's case this joint.
Yeah, what's in this room, lady?
Oh, my 2-year-old son, Horace, sleeps in there.
You have a 2-year-old son?
Oh, yes. I'll show him to you. Yeah. Hello, Horace. How is my little darling tonight?
Oh, I'm fine, Mother.
Two-year-old, eh?
Somebody must have spiked his pabulum.
How do you guess? Well, nighty-night, Sonny.
Good night, Mother.
Sonny, I hate to be around when his voice changes.
No, he makes Ezio Pinza sound like Margaret Truman.
Duke, this place is giving me the jitters.
Well, pull yourself together, Lefty. Come on. Let's look at the rest of the house.
Yeah.
Now, this next room is the nursery. My little baby sleeps here.
Yeah.
He's only 8 months old.
Well, now, him I gotta see.
Now, let's tiptoe over to the crib. There. Isn't he cute? Baby. Baby. Say hello to these nice gentlemen.
Crazy man. Cool.
This is an 8-month baby? Why does he look so old?
He worries a lot.
Oh. Yeah, but look at him. There isn't a hair on his head.
Yeah. For a minute, I thought you were holding him upside down.
Trouble. I keep diapering him the wrong end.
Hey, Ma, isn't it time for my bottle?
Oh, your bottle? Yes, that's right. Here you are, little baby.
Oh, no. Warm vodka.
Yeah, it helps me sleep tight.
Oh.
Give me a diaper, kiddo, and move over.
Duke, I don't like this setup. I'm beginning to...
Uh-oh. Listen. That's the cops. Come on, Lefty. Let's run for it. Out the back way.
Look. If you chaps want to escape,
yeah,
follow me.
Yeah,
down the corridor.
Yes.
Through this hallway.
Yes.
Up these stairs. Now in here.
Where are we?
The bathroom. I wanted to brush my teeth.
What a fine time to find out where the yellow went. Come on, get going.
Look, down this hall. Now, into this room.
Yeah. See, it's dark in here.
I just stepped on something.
Okay, you guys, out of my crib.
Oh, no.
Quiet out there. I can't even hear myself burp.
Oh, we're in a jam, Lefty. We got to get to our car.
Yeah.
If you like, I'll knit you one.
No, I'm going out of my mind.
But it's good to get out once in a while.
Yeah. Hey, Lefty. You're heading for the front door. Where are you going?
To the nearest policeman. Solitary was never like this. I didn't.
And now, Carol Richards soothes our ears with an appealing ballad, Goodbye to Love.
Goodbye to love, I see it in the curtain is closing now. Love's taking an exit bow. Goodbye. Goodbye to love. Goodbye to early spring. To trembling lips and all that love can bring. It's time that we say adieu. For you found a someone new. Goodbye. I used to wake each morning at the break of dawn and shout, I'm the lucky one. But now I wake each morning at the break of dawn with a torch that's hotter than the sun. Goodbye to love and all that might have been. I'll be wrong if you should need a friend. Now leave me alone to cry. Whisper a last goodbye to love. I used to wake each morning at the break of dawn and shout, I'm the lucky one. But now I wake each morning at that same old dawn with a torch that's hotter than the sun. Goodbye, love. All that might have been, I'll be around. If you should need a friend, now leave me alone to cry. Whisper a last goodbye.
How are you today, Mortimer? I say, how are you today?
Oh, same as yesterday. Same as yesterday.
Yeah. And how were you yesterday?
What'd you say, boy?
I say, how were you yesterday?
Oh, shucks, I can't remember that far back.
Well, then think. Think.
Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah, now I remember. It was awful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a nightmare.
Oh, a nightmare?
Yeah. Most anything gives me a nightmare.
Is that so? Yep.
Last week, all I did was eat a Hershey bar before I went to bed. And I dreamt I was nuts. Is it?
Yeah. Well, what did you dream about last night?
Well, last night I had a good one, yeah. It was wild animals.
Is that?
Yeah. You know, lions and giraffes and rhinoceroses and those hippopotamus.
Yeah. A hippopotamus.
That's what it was, yeah. It was the hippiest potipus and musipus.
You know, Mortimer, you probably had those dreams because we went to the zoo yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure, that's what did it. Sure.
And what would you say is the most unusual thing that you saw at the zoo?
Me.
No. Do you like going to the zoo, Mortimer?
Yeah, I enjoy. I like that. But it makes me gain a lot of weight, though.
It does?
Yeah. Why? Well, the monkeys keep throwing peanuts at me. Oh. They're my kind of people, I guess.
You like monkeys?
Oh, yeah.
And how about the giraffe?
Say, how about them?
Yeah. A giraffe is a very interesting animal, don't you think?
Not usually.
No. A giraffe is a very interesting animal.
Yeah, that's pretty near what you just said.
Yeah. But I think it is, nevertheless. Say, you know why?
No, I'll play straight. Why?
Well, I'll tell you.
Well, you got to get to the joke some way, yeah.
Do you know why the giraffe...
Here we go.
You want to sit up here with me?
No.
You're supposed to say why the giraffe has such a long neck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't even try to hold your lip still.
No, all right. You know why the giraffe has such a long neck?
Yeah, to get above the smog?
No, not at all. The giraffe has a long neck so he can eat the tender leaves at the top of the trees.
Say, reckon they don't need much food, though.
Well, why do you think that?
Well, because with them, a little food goes a long way. Sort of an amusing joke if you like something in the low-priced field.
Yeah. I'm sure that you enjoy the elephants more than any of the other animals.
Well, you mean those reversible animals.
Reversible?
Yeah, you know they got a tail at both ends.
Yeah.
And you know they got hoses for noses.
Yeah, all right.
Darn things, yeah. I thought they were vacuuming the floor until I told me.
Yeah. Well, now let's get back to our discussion.
Where did we leave it?
No. You know, elephants are really very intelligent.
Well, don't rub it in, Hein. They ought to be. Look at them big wisdom tooth they got sticking out of there. Yeah.
Those are tusks.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you know what elephants' tusks are made of?
Oh, yeah, let's see. It's, I got it in my head. I just can't think of it.
It's ivory.
Yeah, never mind the soap. All right, yeah.
You know where elephants come from?
Yeah, they're so darn big and so impossible. I guess there's only one place they could come from, Texas. No.
No, they come from Africa. Africa is the land of wild game.
Wild game, huh? You mean like post office?
No. How can you be so stupid?
Well, I got a secret formula. You have.
Now we return to our musical department as Gary Crosby brings us Sing You Sinners.
You sinners, drop everything. Let that harmony ring. Way up to heaven and sing. Sing it on out, you sinners. Just wave your arms all about. Let the Lord hear you shout. Pour that music right out. Come on and sing it, you sinners. Whenever there's music, the devil kicks. He don't allow music. I'll swing it by the river Styx. Wicked man, you're depraved. And you've all misbehaved. So if you want to be saved, sing it on out, you sinners. The devil kicks. He don't allow music by the river Styx. You're wicked and you're depraved and you've all misbehaved.
Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, and Ray Noble, will be back after station identification. The new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the cultural portion of our program, our Poet's Corner. And it is with great pleasure that I bring you, as our guest speaker, one of the most eminent figures in the literary field. Here he is, the poet laureate of the Mobile Gas Car Wash, Professor Edgar Allan Kirkwood.
Good evening, Professor.
Good evening.
Did I hear correctly that you're the poet laureate of the Mobile Gas Car Wash?
That's right, boy. Mm. You'll excuse me if I'm just a little bit out of breath.
Mm.
I had a busy day, blowing out the glove compartment.
Oh.
Inspection.
Yeah. Well, you've got the breath for us.
You know, it did melt all the chrome.
Ah. I can imagine that.
You know, boy, you ought to drop into the car wash. Hmm. We could do a beautiful polish job on your head.
Professor, if you're working at the car wash, I imagine you must be down on your luck a bit, huh?
Oh, you're right, boy. Things have been so bad lately, I'm sleeping at the Z.
What's a Z? And where's that?
It's a little house back of the Y.
Why, yes.
Oh, I hate myself.
Professor, why is it you seem so mad at the world? You're bitter, man.
It all started the day I was born.
Oh, back that far?
Yes, that doctor just kept slapping me.
The doctors slap all babies.
With a monkey wrench?
Oh. He was a mechanically minded man,
probably. Anyway.
Maybe you had a screw loose and he was trying to tighten it.
That was just a lucky guess, boy.
Oh. Poets are supposed to suffer,
though. Oh, and I have, boy. My whole life has been a sad story.
Hmm.
You see, when I was very young, my mother was accidentally shot out of a cannon.
Oh, how terrible. Oh, was she with the circus?
No, she was a food taster at a puffed rice factory.
Oh. Well, your childhood must have really been rough.
Oh, yeah, we never could afford talcum powder.
Ah, I see.
I'm glad.
Takes very little to make you happy, Professor. That's a pretty selfish attitude, but go on.
Would you believe it? We were so poor, the church mice used to bring us food. And if things weren't bad enough, there were 15 of us kids.
15 like you.
Yes. I was 9 years old before it was my turn to get into the bathroom.
Professor, I'm inclined to believe you're pulling my leg.
Oh, no, not me, boy. Your girdle must have hiked up. Believe me, that's quite a hike, too.
We're here to discuss poetry. Now tell me, with all your problems, Have you had time to write any new poetic masterpieces?
Oh, yes. I dashed off a few more romantic sonnets.
Oh,
now let me see. There was, Darling, I've always considered you a good egg, so let's go out and get fried.
That's genius there. Mm-hmm.
Then there was, Dear, you used to have a figure like an hourglass. It was really heaven, but now the sand's getting lumpy around 7:30.
That is perfection.
Yes, folks, out there in this bifaber. We fell in love under a paper moon, my dear, so why didn't you let me kiss you? All the pains are coming back.
Yeah. You are not alone, Professor. Right now, you'd better read us your poem for the evening.
Very well. I call it Ode to True Love. The other night, I held a hand so dainty and so sweet. I thought my heart would burst with joy, so loudly did it beat. No other hand into my soul could so much solace bring as the hand I held the other night, 4 aces and a king.
Now here comes Gary Crosby with a handful of airline tickets as he's off chasing rainbows.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for our Meet the People department. And tonight's guest should be of special interest to anyone who eats. He is a farm advisor for the Agricultural Extension Service, which is part of our Federal Department of Agriculture, and he's also a leading agriculturist at the University of California. I'd like you to meet Ralph LaRue.
Mr. LaRue, we're very happy to have you with us tonight, and we welcome this chance to learn what the work of the farm advisor really is. For while most of us, of course, agree that agriculture is the basic industry of our nation, I think we'll also have to admit that we don't know nearly enough about the farmer and his problems.
Well, that's right, Edgar. The field of agriculture is a constantly expanding and unfolding industry. It's dynamic, Edgar.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been taught to believe that the farmer has it all over the city, cousins, when it comes to freedom from worry and an uncomplicated, happy life.
Well, I doubt that, Edgar, but that's probably a couple of generations ago. But I regret to say that hayseeds like Mortimer Snurd no longer exist. They're just pleasant relics of the past.
So Mortimer's a relic, I see. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. What has happened to our rural American Cracker Barrel philosopher and his simple way of life?
Well, not much, except like the rest of us, he has had to keep pace with the advances of ever-expanding field in this high-pressure age of ours.
Yes.
Today, the farmer is frequently a college graduate, equipped to absorb and put into practices any technical information we farm advisors from the Agricultural Extension Service may bring to him.
Well, now, I've got news for you, Mr. LaRue. Mortimer is keeping up with the modern trend. They just got an electric milking machine on his farm.
That's swell.
Yeah.
Has increased his milk production any?
Well, we don't know as yet. It seems yesterday, the milking time, he developed a short circuit in the milking machine and spent the rest of the time trying to get the cow down off the roof. He has a high-strung cow.
Well, that's the same problem. That's the same problem a lot of us farmers get into with this technical advancement and world that we're in.
Yes. What else do you do as a farm advisor?
Well, one of our important duties, Edgar, is to correlate scientific farm data from all over the world and pass it on to our consumers, in this case, the farmers.
I imagine there's lots of that, too. I even heard the other day about eggs being packed out of their shells, but I don't suppose there's much truth in that.
Oh, don't bet on it, Edgar. Somebody's going to come up with a bright idea someday if they haven't already. Facts matter, it's being tested and would make available more eggs to the country's tables. Cracked eggs, for instance. They're perfectly good, but can't be shipped.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. LaRue, do you have a field that you specialize in?
Well, my work for the past 30 years, Edgar, has been in the field of citrus and subtropical horticulture and general agriculture in particular.
And you're working on some special program now, then, are you? Or development of fruits or vegetables? Is something new that we can look forward to?
Well, yes. The whole Agricultural Extension Service and the research people in the United States and all our great agricultural colleges are constantly bringing forth new ideas, new plants, new foods, new methods of procedure in our farming operations. And that's our job, and that's what I, as a farm advisor, are constantly looking for, to turn out to these consumers we mentioned, our farmers.
I see. Yeah. Have you ever tried, are they working on anything like crossing a celery stalk with a rubber plant for quieter chewing? That wouldn't be very practical.
Well, I'm afraid, Edgar, that's stretching it a little bit too far for quieter chewing. No, they have to be a little closer related than that. A little closer friends, anyway.
I see. Well, they have to be of what do you call it, a species or genus, or how do they work this with them?
Well, we'll say the stone fruits, like peaches, have to be hybridized with peaches, and apricots with apricots, and cherries with cherries, and closely related species, we'll say, and the pome fruits, apples and pears. And within the field of citrus, there are literally hundreds of different varieties which can be crossed. Out of that has come one of the fruits which someday, I think, will be one of the outstanding special fruits in the United States, is a tangelo.
Gordon. A tangelo. Now, what is that like? It has, of course, partly tangerine, I suppose.
That's right, Edgar. It's a hybrid between tangerine and a grapefruit. And they come all the way from almost like grapefruit to all the way almost like tangerine. Some of them are excellent. New ones are being developed every day.
Well, now, what's this going to do for us that the tangerine doesn't do? I mean, why? Why are you going to all this trouble?
Well, it's a lot of trouble to keep new things coming along, Edgar, and these research people just won't be stumped.
I see. Everybody has to try one once, and right there you've made a fortune.
That's right. Everyone has to try one once.
I see. Well, you say that you have to stay with your class in crossbreeding, but haven't freakish things been attempted in this crossbreeding?
Oh, yes. Every so often somebody comes up with something or other, and the old saw is that somebody develops a fruit salad tree.
Yeah. You mean he crossed a peach with an apricot or something of that nature?
Well, it's not quite like that. Somebody gets ambitious, and they take buds from a half a dozen kind of peaches and plums and apricots and put them all on the same tree. Mm-hmm. And they'll have one limb on a tree producing peaches and another limb producing plums and another limb producing apricots, and around the tree they go.
Now, you were telling me that you had a citrus tree, or grapefruit, wasn't it, with how many different kinds?
Well, I had 30 varieties of citrus growing on one tree at one time.
Well, that's
all by just simple budding.
Yeah, I see. Has anything been done like this with any other crops that you could tell us about?
Oh, well, people are monkeying with those things all the time, Edgar, but really the research worker doesn't bother with that sort of thing too much. He gets down to the basic fundamentals and tries to produce things that will do the consumer good as well as the producer, because if we can produce a new fruit or a new species or a new plant resistant to diseases, why, then we've not only helped the consumer, but we've helped the farmer who produces them.
Well, can you predict anything that will be new in the way of farm news or in fruits, or that is merely speculative, or something that might very well be here in the near future?
Oh, yes, Edgar, constantly things are coming up. For instance, about 50 years ago, the avocados were beginning to come to the front in California. And look at the great industry we have in the United States now, across the southern part of the United States, in avocados. Now we have the macadamia nut brought over a good many years ago from Queensland and Australia. And I suspect that if we looked at it, the macadamia is in about the same position that avocados were 50 years ago.
Well, are they growing them in this country now, then?
Yes, they're growing them in the Hawaiian Islands, and the ones that you see on the market now are mostly from the Hawaiian Islands.
Mm-hmm.
But they're expanding to the mainland now, and I suspect in 50 years we may have an industry similar to the present avocado industry.
What about some of the other fruits, then?
Well, there's a great project been going on for years and years in England that illustrates how long it takes to develop a new fruit or a new rootstock in this particular case, where they developed a rootstock for dwarfing apples. And those apple trees, dwarf apple trees, are now being produced in the United States. Two or three nurseries are producing them. It means more trees per acre, smaller trees, less cost for picking. Picker doesn't have to crawl up on a tall ladder to get the apples out of the top of the tree. And the pest control operations are that much cheaper. And in fact, the fruit may actually be better than the ones that we're getting now.
Well, now, about how high would this dwarfed apple tree be?
Oh, they run 6, 8, 10 feet, something like that.
I see.
And, much smaller than our common apple trees.
Well, now, I was up in Northern California, Fresno, in through there a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed there fig trees, and I believe plum and maybe even cherry trees. They were all very short. They were all cropped on top.
Well, they pruned figs, and figs bear on new wood, so they had to prune them rather severely.
I see.
And some farmers keep them pruned way back. Others let them go a little bit longer, and a lot of that depends upon the variety.
And this cuts down on the accident insurance policy.
That's right. The facts of the matter are, if you'd looked at some of those fig trees up there, you'd have seen a doorway cut in one side of them so they can walk in and get to the inside of that fig tree without having to climb over limbs and everything.
Well,
now, this rootstock, apple rootstock, has led to the attempt to breed dwarfing rootstocks for citrus. And we hope to accomplish that sort of thing.
I read something about... you see, I'm a farmer, you know.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yes. I saw something about a mechanical harvester for... Is there any truth in that in tomatoes?
Yes, there is, Edgar. I was going to say, as foolish as it may sound, but you don't dare use that word anymore because somebody will come up and make a fool out of you because somebody will do it in spite of it.
Yeah.
But who can imagine as tender a fruit as a ripe tomato being picked and graded and harvested mechanically, and that's actually being done.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting project because a plant breeder has to breed a specific type of bush, a specific type of plant for these tomatoes to grow on, so that this machine can come along, pick up the bush, tomatoes and all, pick the tomatoes off, sort them for size, sort them electronically for color, and actually someday we'll have them all put in a basket out in the same operation right in the field, ready to go.
You were telling me they're doing that with celery, too. I didn't even know that we grew celery here in California.
Oh, we grow a tremendous amount of celery in California, and they had in Ventura County this last year a piece of harvesting equipment which goes right down the row in the celery field. It's a huge piece of equipment. It cuts the celery, trims it, washes it, packs it in cartons or cases or whatever it may be, and puts that on a truck which takes it direct to the market.
Right. I'll tell you, I'm an alfalfa pea farmer. Well, when the price of meat went down, I didn't do so good with me alfalfa.
Well, you're going to grow your own now. You got the alfalfa aphid down there, and that'll be in to help you out on that.
Yeah, you're going to have a cure for this blight alfalfa trouble we're having?
Oh, sure. We'll have a cure for it someday.
That's nice. I'll rest tonight, then. As a farm advisor, Mr. LaRue, what would you say is the prospect for agriculture future of the United States? Is it good? Is it bad?
Well, Edgar, it's going to be good. It's always going to be good. Sure, farmers and agriculture has its ups and downs. It's going to be good as its information, and as good as our information in the Agricultural Extension Service and the research institutions of the United States. And it will be as good as our ability to come up with new scientific research and methods. Our search for greater efficiency and progress is never ending in the research institutions of the United States. By past results, I believe that the Agricultural Extension Service will continue to fill a vital place in the economy of our country. And I have faith in our farmers to continue to use this information for the benefit of all of us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ralph LaRue, and good night.
Lovely Carol Richards enters the vocal spotlight to tell us all about that stuff that makes the world go round. Love.
Love can be a moment's madness. Love can be insane. Love can be a life of sadness and pain. Love can be a summer shower. Love can be the sun. Love can be two hearts that flower as one. It can be fine and free, but it's true, it doesn't always happen to you. Love can be a dying ember. Love can be a flame. Love pledged in September can be dead in December. You may not even remember it came. Oh, love can be a joy forever or an empty name. Love is almost never, ever the same. It can be ecstasy, but that kind is not so very easy to find. Love can be a force for failure. Love can bring you fame. Love may be wild when it's morning, and then without any warning, it changes. Love, a tie that's hard to sever, or a dirty shame. Love is almost never the same.
Thank you.
Once again, it is time for our woman's department. It is my great pleasure to present as our guest speaker for tonight the girl who reminds you of a yellow traffic light because she's such a caution. Here she is, Miss Effie Clinker.
How do you do? That announcer, he's so cute.
Yes.
Hi, Johnny boy.
Yes.
I'm available. Have broom, will travel.
Oh. Miss Clinker, I see you're still looking for a man.
That's right, yes.
I'm glad you haven't given up.
Oh, no.
After all, more than one long shot has come in.
True, 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 true. But I just can't get out of the starting gate.
I'm sure.
I can't even find a fellow who wants to horse around a little.
Effie, if you're going to get a man, you'd better hurry. You know, you're not as young as you used to be.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah.
You're so right. The first thing you know, I'll be a grandmother before I'm even married.
Yes.
I say, pardon me, Miss Clinker, old girl, but I've always been curious. Just how old are you?
Well, let's put it this way.
Uh-huh.
For many years yet, I expect to raise Cain before I have to start leaning on one.
Why, Miss Clinker, you old scallywag.
Yes, my scally does wag, doesn't it? Well, so what? Now, see here, just how old do you think I am, boy?
How old? Well, it's just a rough guess, old girl. But I'd say you should be about the third time around on Serutan.
I'd like to get even with him and marry him.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to agree with Ray. I'll bet you're more than, well, more of an old lady than you let on.
Now listen, Buster. I help policemen across the street.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
You help policemen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I even make a little pinch.
All right.
Well, I'm a card.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's enough of that.
Speak for yourself, Eddie Boyle.
Well, now, Effie, right now, we better answer some of the mail here.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, let's read the first letter. Here's one. Dear Miss Clinker, every morning when I get up, I have a headache, a backache, and feel awful. What should I do?
Well, get up in the afternoon.
This listener writes, Dear Miss Clinker.
Yes?
How do you feel about basal metabolism?
He's my favorite actor.
Yes. This letter reads, Dear Miss Clinker, they say I have a leaky heart. What should I do?
Oh, put a pan under it. I don't know.
The next one asks, What would you do for a goiter?
I'd use a goiter belt.
All right. This listener asks, What should I do about biting insects?
Well, try and cure yourself of the habit. Yeah.
And our last letter reads, Dear Miss Clinker, what should a person do when he starts to get stiff in the joints?
Well, I would say you must stay out of those places.
And now, do you have any parting advice to our audience?
Yes, I do. Remember, girls, you'll never be old as long as you're chaseable.
You know, folks, Charlie often calls me a skinflint. Of course, he's kidding, I think. But I admit, I do like to get full value when I buy something. And that's why I'm so sold on the new CBS television sets. For my money, they're the biggest, most exciting buy in TV today. Right, John?
Right, Edgar. Only the great new 1956 CBS TV sets give you all nine of television's most wanted advances. And these super modern features are yours at good old-fashioned prices. Take CBS robot tuning. It changes stations automatically at the touch of a button, yet its price is real easy to take. Then there's new CBS remote control that lets you tune your set from your chair, anywhere in the room. A few other makes have it, too, at considerable extra cost.
but it's standard equipment on some 1956 CBS TV sets at no extra cost to you. Those are just two of TV's nine most wanted advances found only in the new CBS TV sets. Your dealer has these great new CBS sets right now, priced from just $149.95. Go see them and make your next set a better set. Make it a CBS. And now here's Edgar Bergen.
It's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here he is with Snurd's words for the birds.
Oh, let sleeping dogs lie. You should tell the truth.
Thank you, Mortimer. And until next Sunday, good night.
Yeah, that goes for me too.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snurd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, Kate McKenna, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Sire Rose, Zeno Clinker, and Hilda Black. This is John Heaston speaking.